This is one of the most interesting stories of all. One of my favorite of all stories. Talk about relevance. Because you see, in the Baha'i faith, Noah has returned with his ark. We know that in our writings, Baha'u'llah is the return of Noah. Jesus said, it will be as in the days of Noah. When he returned again, it will be as in the days of Noah. So there's some real connection, because Baha'u'llah connects that the faith, the Baha'i faith, is an ark of safety for the world. So there's a message in that that we can go back now and re-understand the story of Noah.
So we'll start with quote 62. Consider that among the prophets was Noah, when he was invested with the robe of prophethood and was moved by the Spirit of God to arise and proclaim his cause. Whoever believed in him and acknowledged his faith was endowed with the grace of a new life.
I would suggest to you that that particular truth was true for the old Noah and the new Noah. That's where the similarity of power existed. Now you notice that in the first Noah, do you remember how old Noah, or how long Noah lived? And it says that he sat on the side of the road calling out to the people to come to live the right life. You remember how many years? 950. Now I find that interesting, because we're told that this dispensation will last for perhaps a little more than 1,000 years. Who knows how long, but at least 1,000 years. But, you know, at 950, you're getting close. It's about a dispensation. These are not the actual ages of these prophets. This is the period that their teachings were out there influencing the people. So Noah lived for 950 years as his teachings were the dominant teaching for 900 some years. Mm-hmm. It's all about the ark. Story of God's displeasure with the sons of God marrying the daughters of men, and his regret for having created man, and also the quote by Jesus, it shall be as in the days of Noah. It all goes back to the sons of Adam and Eve.
So quote 63. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Now this is where the Bible interpreters didn't understand the passage, so they put it in a wrong order. Basically, this is about Cain and Abel. One is pleasing God and one is displeasing God, and Cain is upset because God's not happy with him. And so God comes and says, well, why are you upset? It's a simple matter. If you do the right thing, everything will be okay. If you do the wrong thing, things are going to go bad. And of course, if you do the right thing, your brother will look unto thee, and you shall be his desire. He'll want to be like you. And thou shalt rule over him, or you'll be his guide. It doesn't mean you'll rule. See, they misunderstood it. What it's really saying is that if you do the right thing, your brother will want to be like you. I.e. indigenous man, seeing the advancement of the modern world, will wish to become a part of it. And if you handle it right, you can guide him and educate him into the modern world. But if you go about this wrongly, you will receive the wrath of God for abusing and misusing and dominating and killing your brother, the indigenous man. That's really what this is about. And they never got it. It's quite clear that if you do good, he will look to you for leadership, and you'll be able to help him and guide him. Okay.
We move to quote 64.
This is the actual quote now from the Bible, the second version.
Okay. Quote 64. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created, And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. Seth to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
So, you see that this is another version. And it calls their name Adam. Male and female created he them. It's a slightly different intonation. Why? Because this is about Adam the prophet teaching the Adamite people, so to speak, the followers. And it has no mention there of Cain and Abel, only Seth. So what we have is two groups of people. And Cain is the, it says later on in the Bible, that Cain's descendants created the first cities, or where division of labor takes place, those of you who studied economics. Civilization's difference between tribal living and civilized living is the distribution of labor, where people specialize. In a tribal situation, you make your own house, you make your own bow and arrow, you make your own everything, your clothes, everything is actually, you create everything yourself. In a society of civilization, one person specializes in making clothes, one specializes in making swords, one specializes in making saddles, etc., etc., to where specialization occurs, and then you're given exchange for what you do so you can supply yourself from the other resources. That's the difference between a tribal society and civilization. And it says that Cain is the father of the first civilization. Now, Seth represents the children of God. These are the people that they were farmers. They lived in the countryside. They lived virtuous lives. They did things in the proper way, so to speak. But then the story goes on, and this is where it gets interesting. Go ahead and read number 65.
That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose.
This is saying that the people of God, those the descendants of Seth, have now made contact with the people of the city. And when they saw the daughters of mortal worldly men, Cainites, they liked the females that they saw and wanted them to be their wives. I would suggest to you that what the reason was, back home, they were probably dressed in such a way that you could only see their eyeballs. But when they went to the big city, they saw things they had never seen before. Let's say they went to the nightclubs of that day and saw things there, and they wanted one of them. They had never seen this before. They got carried away with the wild side of life, symbolized by the women of Cainite people. Believe me, throughout the Bible, it's often referenced to becoming enticed by the people who lived a different lifestyle that was not appropriate for the people of God. And the enticement of that, and I would suggest to you, if you look what's going on today, that that's happening in the religious communities of our day. Our young people, both male and female, get caught up in the things of society around them. They become enticed with the music, the dancing, the style, the partying of their fellow citizens who live in the world while they are of the covenant. And our young people, and the Christian young people, and the Jewish young people, people of faith, are challenged by the worldliness and corruption all around them. Continue on.
When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown.